Today I'd like to start by taking an overview of how God's holy days are designed to bring us into relationship with Him. And to do this, we kind of got to recognize our starting point. So our starting point, as is with all of mankind, we start in a natural position of enmity towards God. And you can reference that in Romans 8:7. And all of us have sinned and fall short. And if you want to reference that, it's Romans 3:23. That sin alienates us from God and separates us from Him. So in essence, that's where we start in relationship to God. We start alienated from our God. We have just celebrated Passover and the night to be much observed. In God's holy plan, this is the start of His holy day season. Christ's sacrifice paid the penalty for our sins. That sacrifice creates a doorway. And you can reference that in John 10:9, where Christ says, "I am the door." A doorway through Christ to have a relationship with the Father. This, in essence, represents God bridging that gap of where we start in opposition of Him, bridging that gap to bring us into relationship with Him. Once again, our natural state is enmity towards God. Christ's sacrifice, His blood, pays that penalty of sin that separates us from God and brings us into relationship with God, bridges that gap. In Christ's Passover, in the sacrifice that Christ gave on Passover, as the Passover lamb, there are two symbols we partake of, the wine and the bread, symbolic of the blood and the body of Christ. Christ's blood was shed for the remission of sins, and we can reference that in Matthew 26:28. Christ's body is the bread of life, and that's in John 6:48, where Christ says, "I am the bread of life." One sacrifice with two distinct symbols. Think about it. God could have just created it as a sacrifice with one symbol to take away our sins, right? He could have just said the blood is what is required to take away our sins. But He didn't. There's two symbols, and they're there for a reason. So here we are today on the first day of unleavened bread. And one of those symbols continues with us through the following 7 days, doesn't it? The unleavened bread. Why? Why does the unleavened bread continue with us through the next 7 days? The reason is one symbol has served its purpose, and one remains because it still has purpose. I'm going to repeat that. One symbol has served its purpose, and one remains because it still has purpose. We partake of both these symbols. They're both important, and we partake of them yearly in remembrance of Christ as our sacrifice. The blood, symbolized by the wine, has served its purpose, the remission of sins. That is a one-time offering. Think of it this way. Christ poured out His blood only once. He will never have to pour out that blood again. That was a one-time event. And if you want to reference that, you can reference it in Hebrews 10:12. Christ's body symbolizes the bread that still serves a purpose. That bread is the bread of life. He was resurrected. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He is alive. And He is that bread of life. That symbol continues. This is very important because it represents the fullness of Christ's sacrifice. Unless we partake of both symbols and understand what they represent, we will fall short and not fully partake of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Just to be clear, I'm not talking about just partaking of those symbols on Passover. Remember, one of those symbols is continuing with us for the next 7 days. This is very important, and it's significant, and it's good to understand why. We are commanded for the next 7 days, as everyone's familiar with, to eat unleavened bread. For 7 days, to symbolically eat that bread of life, to take Christ into our lives. Our focus is switching from the blood to the bread. We are commanded to take in that bread of life. There's a reason for that. The reason is Christ's sacrifice is much greater than the remission of sins. If we only equate Christ's sacrifice to the remission of sins, then we miss the point of his sacrifice. Let me try to give you a visual example. Here's an empty bottle. Can everybody see this? Does anybody recognize this? It's a water bottle. It's an empty water bottle. This was designed to hold water and be filled with water. That's the purpose of this bottle. When this bottle is created, it's not created with water in it. It's created with air, waiting for the water to be poured into it. Now consider this. Picture that air as a representation of sin. Maybe even as the leaven that puffs up bread, you know, and creates air pockets within the bread. If we look at that air as sin, and we equate it to our lives, this bottle is like us in our natural state. We are enmity towards God, filled with sin. We have sin towards God. In our natural state, that's where we begin. But like this bottle, we are designed for a purpose. Our purpose is to be filled with God's Spirit. There are two ways you can get the air out of this bottle. Just as there are two common ways that we try to remove sin out of our lives, huh? The thing is, only one way works. One, we can try to force air out of this bottle, representing forcing sin out of our lives. Or two, we can displace that air with something else. So let's try the first way. We take this bottle and we squish it like that, and we try to force that air out of it. This is what it looks like now. There's a couple observations we see. One, you can't get all the air out of it, can you? There's still some air in there. But I think the second most important observation is this bottle is twisted and distorted and no longer looks like the bottle it was created to be. Even though we got most of the air out of this, it no longer serves the purpose for which it was created, right? It was created to hold water. In this state, it no longer serves that purpose, does it? Now let's consider that in relationship to our lives. Spiritually, if we only see Christ's sacrifice as the remission of sins and the removal of the death penalty for our sin, we are only partaking of the blood aspect of his sacrifice without partaking of the body of Christ. Look at this crushed bottle. How many people are consumed with making sure that they, not God, but that they get all the sin out of their lives while in the same time, at the same time, not putting Christ into their life? They're just consumed and focused on getting sin out of their lives. That focus spiritually leads to the same condition as this bottle. They no longer serve the purpose for which God created them. See, there's an important reason why this is. And that reason is, we were not created to be absent of sin. We were created to be filled with God's Spirit, which in turn leaves no room for sin. Let me say that again. We were not created to be absent of sin. We were created to be filled with the Spirit of God, which in turn will leave no room for sin. Here's a bottle serving the purpose that it was created for. It's full of water. There's no air in that. It's serving its purpose. This is what it was designed to do. So let's go ahead and read a couple scriptures here as we close. I'm going to read this from from the NASB version, but you can turn over to 1 John 3, verse 9. 1 John 3, verse 9, and we'll read there. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So if we're born of God, we do not practice sin because God's seed resides in us. Just as when that bottle is full of water, there is no room for that sin, is there? There's no room for that air. Let's also turn over to Romans 8 and read verses 9 through 10. And go back to the New King James Version for this. We're breaking into a thought, but we'll start in verse 9 of Romans 8. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Did we catch what that just said? It didn't say if anybody doesn't have sin. Read it again. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This is why we are commanded to eat unleavened bread for the next 7 days. It's not about getting the sin out only. It's about putting Christ in so there will be no room for sin. Symbolically, we are eating of that bread of life. We are eating of Christ. When you look at Christ's sacrifice as the Passover lamb, it's really a transition. It's a transition from death into life. The blood covers the penalty of our death. The body is the life. And we transition from a state of being dead into a state of being alive through Jesus Christ by eating of him and putting him into our lives. It's a transition period, and it's the start of God's holy day season, and it continues on. So, brethren, moving forward through these days of unleavened bread, let's do as we're commanded, but let's do it with the knowledge and thought of putting Christ into our lives, to eat of that bread for 7 days, that unleavened bread, and to remember what it symbolizes, and to know that to partake of the fullness of Christ's sacrifice, we have to internalize that and put Christ into us.